for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, July the 3rd, 1990. Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Colonel Speed Wilson is the speaker of the evening. This is tape 4 in a series of 5 messages that Brother Speed Wilson brought at this camp meeting. Well, we will give Brother Speed, Colonel Speed Wilson, this evening to bring us his topic number 4 in a series of 5 teachings that he's bringing us on the condition of the nation and what we should know about it and what we can do about it. Brother Wilson.
Please, thank you, Glenn. Didn't bother me. Will it record? Okay. As Glenn pointed out, this specific message will be a continuation of the last one. And if you are new and haven't gotten the last one, well, then I would suggest you do, because what we'll say tonight will fit right onto it. In fact, it would be rather complete without the so-called introduction. Our first talk was A World Conspiracy. Tonight, the title will be The World Conspiracy Named. Remember, the world conspirators will be named. And today is the third day of July, the year of our Lord, 1990. In that previous talk, A World Conspiracy, we covered 4 O's: its origin, its organizations, its objectives, and its outcome. I'm more excited about its outcome than any of the other, because man makes his plans, but God directs his steps. Now, some people don't believe there's a conspiracy, and it's a very comfortable position to be in. Ignorance is bliss, as someone said. I think it's more of a blister than a bliss. God says, I would not have my people ignorant, and my people perish for the lack of knowledge, and knowledge does require some thinking. I'm always reminded of my physics professor at the University of Texas in the freshman physics class, and he was having a little trouble getting across to us some finer point of physics. And in anger, he said, I'm convinced that only 2% of the people on the face of the earth actually think. There's another 8% who think they think. And then the other 90% would rather die than think. And his favorite expression was to us, you get that in your head and you got it in a nutshell. Well, but not believing there is a conspiracy would be based on total ignorance. J. Edgar Hoover, director of FBI for many, many years, had a doctor's degree in law, and he said, the individual person is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous that the person cannot believe that it really exists. And it does. It almost makes you think it's just too bad to actually exist, that there would be people like that. An excellent book by Ralph Epperson, entitled The Unseen Hand. I want to read you what it says. Quote, there is a huge, extremely powerful conspiracy at work in the world to achieve absolute and brutal rule over the whole human race. This conspiracy is made up of a small group of individuals who control wars, revolutions, depressions, like people control chessmen on the board. These individuals operate in part through secret societies that are created for specific purposes and events, and the secret within the secret is that they worship Lucifer, Satan, the devil. So that tells you the origin of the operation. It is not new, been around for a long time. To indicate that, we quoted Disraeli from 1876, Prime Minister of England. He named it. Abraham Lincoln, 1860, before the Civil War, when it was coming, he named it. Woodrow Wilson, 1915, before we entered World War I, he named it. Winston Churchill, 1939, he named it. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, exiled from the Soviet Union, 1965, he named it. Senator Goldwater, 1964, he named it. Pat Robertson, 1987, described it completely and continued to name it. Well, it began, and there are many others, Henry Ford, others all named it. The first day of May, 1776, the Rothschilds and Weishaupt came together, and they combined witchcraft with Satan worship and created their own private Golden Dawn Coven. The branch of that today, as we mentioned in the introduction, is the Bohemia Club or the Bohemia Grove and out near San Francisco. Some of the members you'll recognize as that. It's Satan worship, offering human sacrifices. Henry Kissinger, David Rockefeller, George Shultz, Weinberger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, Kissinger, I think I'm probably a whole bunch of them. All members of that part of the Golden Dawn Coven. And their objectives. An excellent one on that is a testimony before the United States Congress in 1953 by Rowan Gaither, who at that time was the president of the Ford Foundation. All of these tax-exempt foundations are all a part of this conspiracy. Carnegie, Rockefeller, Ford, all and on. They will continue to be tax-exempt even when the churches will be taxed. He says, we at the executive level of the Ford Foundation here were active in either the OSS, that's the CIA today, the State Department, or the European Economic Administration. During those times, and without exception, we operated under directives issued directly from the White House. We are continuing to be guided by just such directives, the substance of which are to the effect that we should make every effort to alter life in the United States to make it possible for a comfortable merger with the Soviet Union. Their objective is a one-world government of which they would run, a one-world banking system which they will control. You will see the progression. They control the money of the world today. They almost control all the energy of the world today. And if we had time, I could show you that in reality, they actually control the food of today. And when you get money, energy, and food, you pretty well control the whole operation. Many of the things that I'm talking about as if they were in the future may have already occurred without our recognizing it. The first day of January 1993, the European Common Market will become one country with one currency and one passport. 380 million people, their economy will dominate the world. Them and Japan, the United States will become a banana republic, and we will have financed it. We will have been bankrupt. We've probably been bankrupt for years, but it will be very apparent at that time. And we may have a one-world currency shortly after that time, but the Bible makes it very clear that the time will come when we will buy and sell with a number or an identifying mark. Revelation 13:17, no one on the face of the earth could buy or sell unless they had that identifying mark. And if that scares you, you should get the message that I brought here some time back entitled, Buying and Selling with a Number or the Mark of the Beast. I detest these fear-peddling fundamental preachers that don't read the whole Bible. The mark has nothing to do with it. I think it's seven times before you get to Revelation 13:17, God had marked his people. Amen. And Satan can't get that mark out. And the preachers don't even know the difference between an and an or. As I had said, if they'd been flying airplanes and trying to read the pilot operations manual, they'd have never got airborne without knowing the difference between an and an or. Or if you want to know who Mr. 66 is, they have that tape here also. I think before we're through tonight, you'll probably guess who he is. Well, who are they today? The organizations we're going to deal with tonight primarily will be the Council on Foreign Relations, created in 1921, the Bilderberger Group, created in 1954, and the Trilateral Commission, the youngest ever, is 1973. Very briefly on that, the Council on Foreign Relations was an outgrowth of a British organization that had been created by Cecil Rhodes, of the Rhodes Scholars and so forth, and I'll refer to it here on as CFR. And the chairman of that is David Rockefeller. the Bilderbergers is pretty well dominated by the Rothschilds, and the Trilateral Commission is the latecomer in 1973. Trilateral meaning, and they had a little problem with the president along about that term, named Richard Nixon, and they didn't want that to happen anymore, so they created a Trilateral Commission, including North America, United States and Canada, and Western Europe of the common market, and Japan. 90% of the world's industrial wealth resides in that trilateral. If I can show it, if you get a copy of the paper that Irma had a while ago, you'll see the trilateral is actually three sixes in concert. Consort made with arrows. They're actually 666 around. And charter members of the Trilateral Commission was Jimmy Carter and Fritz Mondale. So that will give you some insight of that. In fact, in the Carter administration, out of the original 72 American members of the Trilateral Commission, Jimmy Carter had 32 of them in his cabinet. A little one-sided, I would say. The Trilateral Commission just recently met in Washington, D.C., the 21st through the 23rd of April, 1990. About 200 attended. If you're interested in who attended it, it's who's who in the world. The list is contained in the Spotlight newspaper of 14 May 1990, just recently. What did they conclude that should be done, among other things? It came loud and clear that Bush should increase taxes. Then the Bilderberger Group met in Glen Cove, Long Island, New York, 10 through 13 May 1990. What did they conclude? Bush should increase taxes. What did he do the 15th of June to the 20th of June in 1990? He announced we'd have to increase taxes. So don't think that this group doesn't have influence on your life. They need the extra taxes to pump up the Soviet Union so that the Rockefellers and Rothschilds, which I'll from here on call Rockychilds, so that they can buy all the state land and all the state factories that were owned by the communist state, and they will buy it at, you bet, a bargain price. And when this thing is over, they'll own it. In fact, Gorbachev, when he was here, a secret meeting with David Rockefeller, actually approved a Federal Reserve banking system for the Soviet Union. So Rockychild will soon control absolutely the Soviet Union. Every United States president, starting with Woodrow Wilson in 1914, has been associated in one way or other with the world conspiracy. Harry Truman was not an open member, but he was a 32nd degree Mason, and Freemasonry was a part of the conspiracy, just as labor unions are, too. All the bosses of the labor unions, AFL-CIO, Lane Kirkland, all those people are all members of the CFR or Trilateralists, and some of the more important ones are members of both. Ronald Reagan was not listed as a member, but his vice president was a member of the Trilateral Commission and the Council of Foreign Relations and picked his cabinet for him. So therefore, there wasn't a lot of change when Bush became president. I told people there wouldn't be, because he'd already picked them anyway. Every Secretary of State since 1924 has been a member of the CFR or Trilateral. James Baker, number 13, is a member of both organizations. Every chairman of the Federal Reserve Board since its creation in 1923 has been a member of the CFR or Trilateral. Alan Greenspan, current one today, member of both organizations. Most secretaries of defense since 1924 have been a part of the CFR or Trilateral. Dick Cheney today is a member of both. Most secretaries of treasury since 1924 have all been members, CFR or Trilateral. Richard Bradley, Brady today, CFR. And all the directors of National Security Council, that's the outfit that runs the White House and the international operations, have been members of the CFR, except Admiral Poindexter and Richard Allen. I told people that Richard Allen, who came to town with Mr. Nixon, probably wouldn't last 6 months. He didn't. He was gone within three. He wasn't a member of the conspiracy. Some of the other members of the National Security Council directors were Henry Kissinger, Alexander Haig, the big new Brzezinski. Isn't that interesting? Kissinger and Brzezinski are both foreign-born. Major General Scowcroft is now a member. He's the Director of National Security, and he's a member of both of the traitorous organizations. Bud McFarlane was a member of the Trilateral and Council of Foreign Relations. And after Mr. Admiral Poindexter and Oliver North were sent to jail or convicted, General Colin Powell took over. He's a member of Consul of Foreign Relations Trilateral, but he moved on over and let Scowcroft come in, and Powell is now chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Most of the chairmen of the Joint Chiefs of Staff have been traitors. They've been apart. Myers, Roger, Crow, and now Powell. And the Secretary of the Navy, Carl Trost. Carl went to the same church I attended in Washington, and I always wondered how he made admiral and never been shot at in his life. And then I found the list, and he was a member of the Consul on Foreign Relations and later became Secretary of the Navy. George Bush cabinet now includes over 300 CFR and trilateralists. Can you imagine what the world and the news media would be saying if you had that many Christians in office? They'd get upset if you had that many vegetarians. But you don't read about it because they control the news media. And we'll come to that. George Bush selected most of Reagan's cabinet. We saw that. The very few non-CFR trilateralist members who were in Reagan's cabinet were purged before Reagan left office. National Security is Richard Allen, James Watt, personal friend of mine for 14 years, most capable man as ever the Secretary of Interior. And on down, the Secretary of Labor and a whole bunch were all purged who were not members of the conspiracy. The only one was able to stick it out through the whole thing was our brother in the Lord Jesus Christ, Attorney General Ed Meese. He's the only one that survived the purge. Purge pretty much like they have in the Soviet Union. Senators, CFR or trilateralists, are William Cohen, John Glenn, Chuck Robb, John D. Rockefeller IV, William Roth. Over in the House side, there are a lot more than that, but on the House side, Tom Foley, Majority House Leader. Isn't that interesting? And then Charles Rangel, a very important leader also. Nearly all of the major news media executives and paper owners and television owners and radio owners, or nearly all of them, are members of either the Trilateral or the Consul of Foreign Relations. Interesting, Catherine Graham, the owner of the Washington Post, is a member of the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, and a Bilderberger. So you know what you're getting when you read the Washington Post, or Newsweek, which is a reprint of everything that's gone in the Washington Post earlier, and also the New York Times, and also the L.A. Times, and UPIP, Reuters, no members. But Reuters puts a lot of information on the line that these controlled newspapers will not print. And most of the major television personnel are members, Dan Rather, David Brinkley, Barbara Walters, on down the line. Now, here's a couple that might surprise you. Bill Buckley, the well-known conservative, and George Will, member of both CFR and Trilateral Commission. Why do they take both sides of the fence? So you'll never be talking about what we're talking about. This ought to be big news. So now you can understand why I wear a bumper sticker on my car that says I do not believe the liberal media. And I'm so blessed as people go by and they honk at me and they give me a thumbs up and I forget about the bumper sticker. One of them went by, well, I won't tell you what he did, but I think he was a newspaper publisher. He gave me the one finger wave as he went by, But one man, I was just pulling into the parking lot, and one man slammed on the brakes and backed up and hollered at me, "I don't either." And I said, "What? Oh, yeah. Oh, okay, fine." Fine. President Calvin Coolidge said, and that was a long time ago, even before my day, said anyone who reads the newspaper and thinks he really knows what's going on is to be pitied. Will Rogers, everybody asked him anything, he said, "Well, I'll know what I read and then laugh about it." Because he knows a bunch of garbage. Let's look at some of the personalities. Robert McNamara. His middle name is interesting. Some of you may know it. Robert Strange McNamara. We used to call him Old Strange Bob over in the Pentagon. Not to his face, of course. We used to call the Pentagon Fort Fumble. Or Disneyland East. Or the puddle on the Potomac. But, see, we could do that out of the 33,000 people that work in that five-sided figure. Fewer than 8 or 10,000 are military. The rest of them are what we call civilian. They stay there forever. They won't work. You can't fire them. They just sit there like some of the missiles that don't go. Well, McNamara's claim to fame was when he came, before he came to Washington, he was the president of the Ford Motor Company. His great achievement there was to develop the Edsel. Turned out beautiful. and so needed someone in Washington for, to be Secretary of Defense with that kind of talent, because we didn't want the military to stay strong. So they brought McNamara to town and made him Secretary of Defense, and he served for 7 consecutive years. Chap Weinberger almost made it to 7 to tie his. Of course, Chap Weinberger, Satan worshiper, member of Council of Foreign Relations and Trilateral. And his mission, his, McNamara, was to destroy the military power of the United States and allow the Soviet Union to become the top military power. To do that, he refused to spend funds that the Congress had delegated for defense. And the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Wheeler, United States Army, not a member of the conspiracy, went to the Supreme Court and forced him to spend the money, because the executive branch means executive. They do what the Congress says to do. All right, so he had to spend the money. What did he do? He bought airplanes that wouldn't fly, the F-111, and guns that wouldn't shoot, the M-16, and boats that sunk, some of them broke in half on the launching. And a lot of admirals and generals and colonels quit over that, because we had much better equipment known and was flying, and they would resign. Very interesting. They called a press conference. 7 colonels all resigned at one time from the Pentagon. And they called a press conference to explain why they were resigning. Guess what? Nobody came. Same thing with the generals and the others. I could give you the names of the generals and you would remember some of them. Great men, but wouldn't be a part of the conspiracy. Wouldn't be used anymore. Well, in 1972, with that kind of thing going on and in his efforts, the Soviet Union became the dominant world military power. 1972, and they've become stronger ever since. As we're standing here right now, while we're going over and bailing them out, they're producing 10 tanks a day, a new submarine every 37 days, and the only things they're destroying are old weapons from World War II that were worthless anyhow. And they can't afford to build all the armaments that they need to build to conquer us by 1995 or force us to surrender. So they have to have somebody to care of their economy, and guess who? The American taxpayer again. Well, before the Armed Forces Committee, Senator Everett Dirksen was a member of that committee. Senator Stennis from Mississippi was the chairman of the committee. And F. Dirksen, McNamara going off with all these facts and figures and stuff. Dev Dirksen, I hope you remember that dear old brother. Knew the Lord, loved the Lord, slow talker from Illinois. And he asked him, he said, Mr. Secretary, you seem to be very confident in all your statements. Have you ever made a mistake in your life? And McNamara said, honestly, Senator, I can't remember ever making a mistake. Well, when the media picked up on that, Ev Dirksen, they asked him about it. What about that, Senator? He said, well, I noticed you didn't like to talk about the EBSCO a whole lot. But, and then Dirksen pulled a real good one, knowing that McNamara is a Satan worshiper. He said, I know who appointed him, but I'm worried about who anointed him. Well, I was for a 3-year period in Washington as Deputy Director of Marine Corps Reserve, responsible for the equipping, training, and mobilization of 300,000 reserve Marines all over the United States, which was twice the strength of the active duty Marine Corps. I had to go over to both the Senate and the House Armed Forces Committee about once every 6 months, twice a year, just to give them a review on how goes it on the budget. Well, the Marine Corps budget is so small, they rounded off in the last 6 digits on the budget anyhow, so there was nobody really interested. But it was a requirement of the law. And so I went over there, and here was for my to give my report to the House Committee. And here was McNamara and Dr. Enthoven and Dr. Vogt. We always called it his dog and pony show. We never could resolve who was the dog and who was the pony. But a couple of educated idiots and the whiz kids, so-called. They just made no sense at all when they talked. But anyway, McNamara had all of his charts and all of his stuff, and he was going, and when he got through, I noticed Mendel Rivers, chairman, red face, white hair, sitting up there, and he really wasn't paying a whole lot of attention. In fact, when I came in the door, he just sort of waved. And there was a reason for that, because his chief consul is a general in the Marine Corps Reserve. We can play that game too, you know. And when he got through, he says, any questions, Mr. Chairman? And old Mendel Rivers pushed his chair back in his best South Carolina drawl. He said, "Mr. Secretary, I really do believe with all your facts and figures that you could probably prove that if a man had one foot in the fire and the other foot in a bucket of ice, that on the average he'd be comfortable." Well, the Vietnam War, which we'll talk about in great detail tomorrow night, the truth about Vietnam, 1975, Senators Kennedy, McGovern, Javits, Church, Bayh, and Fulbright all put an amendment on the funds bill, the appropriations bill, like the Bowen Amendment, no more appropriated funds to go to Southeast Asia. With that, there was no way for the South Vietnamese to go but down. I want you to know that during the 10 years that Vietnam was being attacked by the communists, about 300,000 South Vietnamese were killed. Since 1975, 3 million have been killed. Cambodia, 3 to 5 million have been killed. So peace is far more dangerous than war, the way this goes. And those lay right at the hand of Kennedy, McGovern, Church, Bayh, Javits, and Fulbright. Fulbright from this great state of Arkansas. Rhodes Scholar, no less. As is your governor, a Rhodes Scholar. Dead giveaway. Personality. Hines, Alfred, well, I forgot to tell you the rest of what happened to old McNamara. When he had served his term as Secretary of Defense, 7 years, then he went over to be the president of the World Bank. That's the one that spends your money out of the International Monetary Fund to support the conspiracy's operations. Then he became president of the Bank of America Corporation, which the Rothschilds had just purchased. And now he's on the board of directors of both the CFR and the Trilateral Commission, going around and spreading his propaganda on talk shows, of the conspirators' talk shows. Hines Alfred Kissinger, alias Henry Kissinger, professor of Columbia University, an associate of Nelson Rockefeller's, was the director of the National Security Council for Mr. Nixon, became Secretary of State for Mr. Nixon and Mr. Ford, was assigned a special mission to investigate what was happening in Central America for Mr. Reagan. And he's the only person in all the world that belongs to all six conspiracy policy level groups. He is the front man, and he's my nomination for Mr. 666, and his name will add up four ways in English without any hanky-panky, and his name will also add up in the Greek with no hanky-panky, 666. And he is the man. Even his biography, his background fits. Alexander Haig, PhD, Columbia University, PhD in International Relations, one of his professors, Henry Kissinger. He became the Deputy Director of National Security Council under Kissinger. After only 20 years in the Army, when he would normally be eligible for consideration promotion to colonel, he was already a two-star general. He was a major general. He's the only man in peacetime in all history who went from two-star to four-star. He never was a lieutenant general. Even the Washington Compost thought that was a little unusual and had a little thing to do about it. Well, along came Watergate. By the way, as Glenn and I know, they had to force General Ralph Haines off active duty to get his four stars to put on Haig. Well, along came Watergate. So General Haig now had 22 or 23 years of active duty when he would normally be first considered for brigadier. He retired to become Chief of Staff of the White House. Our brother in the Lord Jesus Christ, Charles Colson, is quoted in the Dallas Morning News, said, "During the last 6 months in the White House, Mr. Nixon was literally a prisoner and his jailer was Alexander Haig." Well, when Ford became president, he didn't have anything against Haig, but it didn't look too good still having a Nixon man around. So Haig put his four stars back on and went over to take over command of NATO. James Rumsfeld, who had been the chief of staff of NATO, came over to be chief of staff of the White House. He's a traitor, CFR, and later became Secretary of Defense. And, of course, Kissinger became, Alexander Haig became Secretary of State for Reagan. He tried a neat trick that Kissinger pulled quite often, but it didn't work for Alex. Every time somebody would cross Kissinger, he would put in his resignation. Of course, putting in a letter of resignation, pointing out why he was resigning. But he had them over the barrel, so they'd always correct whatever the problem was he had, and they'd probably fire whoever was butting heads with him, and he'd stay around. Well, Haig tried that, but Reagan just considered it for 2 or 3 days and then accepted it. Agreed. And it doesn't work all the time. Well, then he quit for a while over there as NATO commander and came back and ran for president. But now he's rolling in money of the all the others and advisors and whatever. Elliot Richardson, you don't hear much of him, but he's a powerful man. He's held almost every cabinet job in Washington. He's been the head of health and education, or HHS today, the Secretary of Treasury, the Secretary of Defense, and the United States Attorney General. And at the present time, he's head of a committee in the United Nations on oceans reserves. Did you know the wealth of the oceans is just incalculable? And he's up there to see to it that it ends up in the United Nations hands, which is a front for the future world government. He's also an ambassador at large. By the way, it would be no surprise to you to know that all the people that I've just mentioned up to this time all travel on diplomatic passports, including David Rockefeller. Paul Volcker, old tall Paul, 6'6". He came from the Rockefeller's operation. He was Assistant Secretary of State for Monetary Affairs in 1945, and he's the one that created the International Monetary Fund to be a worldwide Federal Reserve, so they could take your money and use it to their benefit. The United States just turned over $12 billion to the, and they're going to turn over another $12 billion very shortly, so that they can use it to further the conspiracy. Then he was went from there to be director of Chase Manhattan Bank. That's a Rockefeller petty cash operation that goes on up here in New York. I think the funniest thing everybody was saying, oh, well, the Rockefellers must be really having trouble. The Japanese recently bought 51% of the interest in Rockefeller Center. What they don't know is that Rockefeller owns 60% of the corporation in Japan that bought Rockefeller Center. Yes. Oh, boy, you talk about snow jobs. And then he became president of the New York Federal Reserve Bank. By the way, its identification code is 666. I have a printout of all the bank code numbers, and that's their identifying code. It's actually 0666. Anything that has that on it goes through the Federal Reserve at New York. Then he was chairman of the Federal Reserve Board just until recently when Alan Greenspan took over. Well, and he's on the board of directors of the Council of Foreign Relations. As someone said, when he became the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, knowing his background, said putting him in charge of your money is like putting Dracula in charge of your blood bank. And, well, what happens when you cross the conspirators or resist them and their programs? Well, Oliver North and Admiral Poindexter could tell you. If we have time, we'll go through that. Abraham Lincoln would not buy his money from the Rothschilds when he became president. He'd read the Constitution and said that's right, is reserved for the Congress of the United States, and it cannot be delegated. So the Federal Reserve Board is unconstitutional. It is a privately owned corporation. And so he just simply printed the Lincoln greenbacks. That's the reason our money is green today. Some have calculated that saved him in the Civil War somewhere in the neighborhood of $40 billion. That would be like about $400-600 billion today with the inflation we've had. Very interesting, the Secretary of War, Stanton, was a Rothschild agent. He arranged to have the Secretary of State Sewall, the Vice President Andrew Johnson, and Abraham Lincoln were all to be assassinated on the same night, and under the law at that time, Mr. Stanton would have been the President of the United States. They killed Secretary Sewall's wife by mistake. The one that was to kill Johnson got drunk and never made it. And John Wilkes Booth did get Abraham Lincoln. President now, Andrew Johnson fired Stanton for his part in the conspiracy. I think it's right. You know, you are appointed to a cabinet post with the advice and consent of the Senate, but you serve at the pleasure of the President. He can fire you anytime he wants to. Well, they attempted to impeach him for firing a man who arranged the assassination of the President. And would you believe it, there was only one vote short in the House from impeaching Andrew Johnson. John F. Kennedy, an interesting study. If we have time, we'll go through that. Why did they kill John Kennedy? And they did. Because he had waked up and he wanted to go down in history. It was pretty much like Abraham Lincoln. So he had it all set to issue U.S. notes to replace the Federal Reserve notes. And he took a trip to Dallas. John Conley was also to have been killed in that operation. John Conley, former Secretary of Treasury and Secretary of the Navy, not a member of the conspiracy. Hard to imagine how he got in those positions. Former governor of Texas also. Interesting story behind him, very quickly. No way you know it or not, but Texas only came into the United States under an agreement that they have the option, and it has to be renewed every year by their legislature, that if they don't like what's going on, they just don't renew their membership as a state in the United States, and they revert back to being an independent republic. And so Conley was teamed up with some Arabs, and they were going to break away. It wasn't going to be renewed, and they were going to start their own banking system down there and become probably one of the wealthiest countries in the world because they have all the resources. And what they don't have in the way of labor, they can get from Mexico. In fact, if you hadn't won, well, they bankrupt Conley, blew one lung out when they got Kennedy. They bankrupt him. But his dear friends in Texas who knew the story all came to the auction when they were auctioning off his estate, and they didn't bid against each other, and they bought most of the stuff and gave it back to John Conley. What was Watergate all about? Bad. Mr. Nixon was a member of the CFR, and he apparently realized their objective and where it was taking him. So he and the Prime Minister of Japan, also a member of the operation, teamed up to break their two countries out of the control of these conspirators. That would be a conspiracy against a conspiracy. The clues on that came on 11 September 1971. Mr. Nixon publicly declared economic war on this conspiracy. He came on at noon and he said in his concluding remarks, he's talking on the balance of payment, "As President of these United States, I am hereby serving notice on the world that we will no longer compete in the international marketplace with one hand tied behind our backs. Good day, my fellow Americans." The next Monday, he devaluated the dollar 30%. I found out very shortly that Mr. Tanaka had done the same thing 6 months earlier, so that the yen and the dollar were going to balance out, and it almost wiped the European common market countries out. It really hurt the Rothschild group. 1973, Mr. Nixon, right in the middle of the oil crisis, the non-oil crisis, really, because we in the military knew there was no crisis. We keep pretty close tab on that. He read the speech that he was supposed to read, that Kissinger and the others had read for him, prepared for him. Watergate is well on the way. Then he pushed it aside, and he looked square into the camera, and he set his big square jaw, and this is what he said. "As President of these United States, I shall do everything in my power to make this nation independent of any foreign enemy." He said, "I mean energy." But that is interesting. "Source no later than 1980, so help me God. Good night, my fellow Americans." The very next morning, the Secretary of State, Henry Kissinger, called a press conference and said, "I want you of the media to know that Mr. Nixon," didn't call him president, "Mr. Nixon's closing remarks of last evening did not meet with my approval." You would say, well, so what? Well, Nixon found out, so what? Well, could Mr. Nixon make this nation independent of any foreign energy source? Anytime he wanted to. But we didn't know much about it, well, outside of the inner circles. 1979, Vincent McKelvey. I've met the gentleman, the head of the U.S. Geological Survey Department, or Bureau. He had addressed the Washington Press Club, and they asked him, what are the known reserves, energy reserves at the present time? And this is what he didn't even have to refer to his notes. He said, we have enough natural gas. This is 1979. We've punched a lot of holes since then. Enough natural gas for 600 years, enough petroleum for 130 years, enough oil shale for 1,500 years, enough coal for 6,000 years, enough breeder reactor energy, totally unlimited, uranium-238 in storage and ready for use to keep us in supply for at least 100 years. Senator, Congressman Sims, Stephen Sims, a Christian, Republican from Idaho, had Mr. McKelvey's speech put in the congressional record, just for historical record. But you can guess what happened to Mr. McKelvey. The following Monday, he was unemployed. He was fired. Well, back to Watergate. Watergate was almost a totally unimportant event. It was a break and entry. As the bumper sticker in Washington said at that time, nobody drowned in Watergate, how about Chappaquiddick? Remember, that's where Ted Kennedy drowned his secretary. I don't have time to tell you, but I did call a sergeant in the police force over in Washington, D.C., and I asked him how many break and entries they have in a 24-hour period. He said, oh, it ranges all the way from 75 to 100. I said, well, how many do you ever catch? And he said, oh, about one out of 10, maybe 20. And I said, well, how many of those do you send to jail? And he said, that figure's classified. They have probably none. Well, there was nothing stolen, nothing destroyed, nobody drowned in Watergate. What was the big deal? Well, it was rigged to take Mr. Nixon out of office. They were in the Watergate apartments of Senator McGovern, which, by the way, the milk interest of his home state, the Dairymen's Union, bought for him for $500,000 and paid the $20,000 a month maintenance fee for him while he's living in there. What they were doing in there, they were FBI and most of them were CIA agents. McGovern, by the way, today he's still lecturing on tours of the National Lawyers Guild, which is listed as a communist front. So is Jesse Jackson doing the same thing. Well, James Magruder and Hunt and James McCord and Alfred Baldwin are all in. Magruder and Hunt, but James McCord and Alfred Baldwin were double agents. They were working for the Kennedys, and they infiltrated the group, and they're the ones that got them caught. Because they'd been in there three times before they ever got caught. And they would have never got caught if it hadn't been for Baldwin and McCord arranging for them to get caught. Well, let's look at Watergate and compare it to some other things that happened. Nixon versus John Kennedy in the election back in the early days of the Kennedy clan's move for power. Very interesting. Mayor Daley of Chicago, of course, Democrat, was unable to deliver the Chicago vote for Kennedy to be elected. It was one of the closest elections in all the history of the United States. And if Mr. Nixon had gotten the 26 electoral votes of Illinois, he would have been the president. But they lost all the ballot boxes from Cook County. As someone said, it was only two truckloads full, probably took a wrong turn at the Chappaquiddick Bridge. All right. Let's look at Lyndon, compare that to Watergate. Johnson versus Governor Coke Stevenson for Senate in 1948. I went down there a few years later as a jet instructor at Kingsville in Clayburgh County. The next county over was Jim Welch County, which was very important in that election. According to U.S. News and World Report, 6 April 64, and I knew it before then, Lyndon Baines Johnson was elected by the great majority of 87 votes out of 2 million cast. Very interestingly, the last 200, get the figure, round number, the last 200 people that voted over in Jim Wells County all voted in alphabetical order, all signed their name in a green ballpoint pen, and at least 15 of them had been dead for 10 or 15 years. As the joke said, resurrection came over early over in Jim Wells County in 48. And the election judge, remembering that Johnson was elected by 87 votes, that's the reason they called him old Landslide Lyndon. But a judge down there thought that was a little unusual, and he wrote a letter to a federal judge suggesting that an investigation might be in order. 3 days after that letter hit the federal judge's desk, the election judge was found dead in his car with 5 bullet holes through his chest with a .22 rifle laying in his lap, and they ruled it suicide. You try shooting yourself 5 times in the chest, Lewis. But now we can document that. Fellow wrote a book, and he found an old man, Louis Sala, 84 years old, that was the chairman of the committee of the voting box number 13, and he says, I've written all this down, and I've turned it over to Carroll a copy of this 80-page type manuscript. And the old man says, out of loyalty to his boss, George Parr, he's the one that had the guy killed, the Duke of Duval County, I had to certify that they added 200 votes, which put Lyndon Johnson into the Senate from Senator from Texas and positioned him to become President of these United States. Compare that one to Watergate. Well, Senator Kennedy, of course, as you know, downed the Secretary and lied about it repeatedly. If he wanted to, we could go through all the details. But she lived for probably 3 or 4 hours after the car went under the water, according to the people that recovered it, because the car floated nose down. The seat was all torn up, so she tried to keep her face in the air bubble that was trapped in the back. And he waited till 10 hours before he ever notified anyone. He said he was so tired after swimming the channel, he fell across his bunk and went to sleep. It's interesting, he talks in his sleep. You know, when you make a phone call today from anywhere, it's recorded as to where you called from and where it went. He made 9 telephone calls in his sleep. He was found guilty of the high crime of leaving the scene of an accident and had his driver's license revoked for 6 months. Big deal. And the girl he drowned was buried in violation of state and federal law without an autopsy. Well, a lot of things we could say. Ninth day of August, 1974, President Nixon said in his resignation, and I wept as I heard him because I knew what was going on. I can no longer subject this nation to its torment that will be its fate if I remain its president. Therefore, I must resign as president of these United States. May God be with you. Goodbye. I knew somebody had to know what was going on, so it was so obvious. If you read something besides the Washington Post and New York Times. An outstanding author who wrote a book, JFK, Man or Myth. And he's a big myth, of course. But the sad thing was, the book came out just as Kennedy got shot, so the book never did go very well. Victor Lasky. So he wrote a book in 1977 entitled, It Did Not Start with Watergate. And he outlined all the things that other presidents had done that made Mr. Nixon look like a real saint. The last lines, and it didn't start with Watergate, are, Watergate was a news media event. Probably the only individual that's been the head of the CIA for ad nauseum who was not a member of the conspiracy was Richard Helms, no relation to Senator Helms, one of my favorite people. He was on one of these Meet the Press otherwise, and Mr. Nixon now is gone, and Mr. Nixon is being invited to come to China and France and other places. So one of these CFR interviewers said, don't those people in the foreign countries recognize that Mr. Nixon is a disgraced individual? Richard Helms didn't bat an eye. He said, no, everyone outside the United States knows that Watergate was simply a dirty political trick. Did you get that? Everybody outside the United States knew it. I used to get that time going around over to inspect our 300 training centers in the United States. When I get to a place, people would, the mayor and others would have a reception, and they'd come and they'd say, well, Colonel, do you think he's guilty? And I'd say, well, who? You know, there's so many guilty ones in Washington. I didn't know who you're talking about. And they'd say, oh, Mr. Nixon. And I'd say, well, guilty of what? And that was the funniest thing, to watch them look at you. They thought he must have at least committed murder. No, he wasn't guilty of anything. Just a bunch of hype in the newspapers. Well, I think I'll quickly tell you about Oliver North and Admiral Poindexter. They'd already decided to stop this operation because the American people were getting too eager to support the freedom fighters in Central America. So they had to get their agent out before they lowered the boom. So they got McFarland, Bud McFarland, out, put Poindexter in. Of course, Oliver North was there all the time. He's a lieutenant colonel. That comes after major and before colonel. I would have loved to have had a bunch of lieutenant colonels in him, like over in Vietnam. I had 14 lieutenant colonels work for me. I only had one that was a worthless one. All the rest are very good. And it was to try to get Reagan out. But anyway, it was to disgrace anybody that would be patriotic to this country. And so they got McFarland out, put Poindexter in, and then they blew the whistle. Now, the whistle was blown not in a paper over in Beirut or Lebanon or somewhere. The news was leaked from the CIA. And Poindexter later was replaced by Carlucci, who was a member of the CFR in Trilateral, who later went on over to be Secretary of Defense. But they had to get Bud McFarland out, and they did, and they lowered the boom, and they leaked it. And it's a lesson to anyone who would be patriotic. They did not expect anyone like a mere lieutenant colonel would ever be able to stand up to the Senate and the committee the way he did. My son, who served in the Marine Corps also, said, "Dad, this upsets me also." He said, "Those people will just literally slaughter Colonel North." I said, "Scott, and it's intimidating to go over there, and you sit down to a table by yourself, and you look up, and you see all these people up there with their names, and it's pretty impressive with paneled walls and marble columns, and you wonder what you're doing there. You'd like to get out of the table. But you have to remember that they're all a bunch of scoundrels." That was the way I could look at them, except the few that we knew, and they weren't any problem. And they were honest people. I said, "Not unless he lets them intimidate him. If he's not intimidated, they won't make much off of him, because he's smart." And sure enough, right out of the box, I was watching the TV. I recorded the whole thing on video. This Jewish lawyer from New York, Lyman, it was time to his ask questions, and he said, "Mr. North." Oliver North raised his hand. Consul looked at him and said, "Yes." He said, "Consul, I'm a graduate of the United States Naval Academy. I've served 19 years in the United States Marine Corps. I've been a lieutenant colonel now for 6 years, and I am not a mister, thank you very much. A mister is a warrant officer." I said, "Glory to God, Scott, he's got him." Mr. Sullivan, his consul, was just about as acid with him, and he was. I loved him. When he was advising Oliver, they said, "Well, let Colonel North do the speaking." And he said, "Well, that's my job. I'm not a potted plant just to sit here." Henry Hyde, I love that guy from Illinois, Congressman Hyde. When they flashed the Bowling Amendment up on the wall, they wouldn't let Oliver North do his slide presentation. That wouldn't work on the wall, but theirs would. Overnight, they lost the technology to show it on the wall. But what they did, they got the Bowling Amendment, and they put it up there, and they put Ronald Reagan's signature right on it. And they asked Oliver North, "Do you recognize that?" He said, "Well, it's the Bowling Amendment." He sort of smiled, and he looked at his consul. They both smiled. "Well, whose signature is that under there?" "Well, that's President Reagan." "Well, and President Reagan signed it, didn't he?" Henry Hyde said, "Just a minute, Mr. Chairman. I've seen some sleazy deals, but this takes the cake." He said, "That is a rigged show." He said, "That's one paragraph out of this document." And he picked it up. It weighs 15 pounds. About that thick. And that one paragraph, he said, "That's hidden in there somewhere. Nobody on this committee ever read it all. And we sent it up to the president, and he had to sign it before midnight, or the bank, or the government would come to a halt. So that's the way we do business around here." And he says, "You're trying to leave the impression that Mr. Reagan, when he saw this pile of paper come up, said, 'Oh my God, there's the Bowling Amendment, let me sign it.' You know what was in there? Oliver North and nobody else violated the Bowling Amendment. The Bowling Amendment said no more appropriated funds will ever be spent to support the Contras in Central America. That stopped it." Well, they got $2 million by selling some old obsolete weapons to Israel, who sold their more obsolete weapons to the Ayatollah, and they made a $2 million profit on it and give it to the Contras. And I think that was a heck of a good idea, get Satan to support the freedom fighters down there. And if you want more details, I'll give you more details on the Illinois thing. But isn't it interesting that Bolsky, who ripped the taxpayers and the stock market out of somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 or $6 billion, was fined $20 million and will probably serve about 6 months of an 18-month sentence, and he'll be out and going. But Admiral Poindexter may get 25 years in prison. That's what Jim Baker got. You talk about justice, there ain't any. No justice. Well, it's closed. Man makes his plans, but God directs his steps. Proverbs 6:9. And the woe of them that call evil good and good evil. Proverbs 17:5. He who justifies the wicked and condemns the righteous, both are an abomination unto the Lord. To close, there was a dear friend of mine that resigned as one of the undersecretaries of McNamara, a Christian, and there were about six of us that gathered to say goodbye to him. And he said, when I get back to my home state, I no doubt will be asked, what is it like to be in Washington on a powerful position in the federal government? And he said, this will be my answer. He said, the federal government is like a giant log floating down the Potomac River. And on this log are tens of thousands of ants. And each ant is convinced he's driving. And he laughed and he said, I knew I had the helm at least twice. Well, that's the way with these conspirators. They think they're driving. And they may be up to right about now. But I think very shortly their house is going to come tumbling down. Because you can read Revelation 14:8 and Revelation 8:2 and so forth, that Babylon will fall. Will fall. If we have some Democrats here, I'd like to read you something, and you might want to reevaluate being a Democrat. By the way, the sanctions against South Africa started in 1981. When an agent from the Soviet Union came over and they met in the Riverside Church in New York. Mandela was over there just for the other day at the Riverside Church. That's the reason he went there, because that's where these people met with the Communist Party representatives. Those who were there was the chairman of Communist Party USA, Gus Hall, and his right-hand lady, Angela Davis, Congressman Ron Dellum from California, Howard Hope Wolpe from Michigan, Reverend Jesse Jackson, who's never had a congregation in his life, and dozens of other, in fact, there were two dozen other congressmen there, and they decided that they would push for economic sanctions in South Africa, and they knew what they were doing. The sanctions were never intended but for one purpose, to force tens of thousands of blacks out of their employment and create a ripe environment for a revolution. At the time, over 300,000 black Africans had been forced out of jobs. And what the news didn't tell you is that Mandela's daughter was touring around everywhere he went, and she was giving speeches saying the exact opposite of what he was saying. In fact, Ben Kinchlow, the black fellow who used to be on the 700 Club, spent 10 days over in South Africa, and he said he saw no signs of apartheid. In fact, when he went out into the black communities, and they have to have separate communities, so they kill each other. They're tribes, and they kill each other. Out of the 4,000 people who have been killed over there, nearly 3,800 have all been killed with tribes, blacks killing blacks. It hasn't been the police at all, which you never get that impression from the news media. And he would ask them, well, what do you think of Bishop Tutu? And he said their answer was, hoo-hoo. They never heard of him. He was a news media creation in the United States. Isn't it interesting? You got the Nobel Peace Prize. Well, I'll tell you some other Nobel Peace Prize winners. Maybe you'd be surprised. Khrushchev, Castro, all great lovers of peace. Patrice Lumumba, the Mau Maus in Central America. And I mentioned Castro. And then one that comes right down to home, Martin Luther King. And, of course, the great Kissinger. And the president of North Vietnam got it for invading South Vietnam. So that's your Nobel Peace Prize for you. Well, it goes back, this article goes back and points out, but here's the interesting part. This was in 1988 edition. But for the first time since 1952, the Communist Party, USA, chose not to run candidates in the national election for president and vice president. First time since 1952. Why not? And they wrote this in their periodical. It said, we will no longer go to the expense and effort to compete in the national elections. We will now throw all of our support behind Jesse Jackson. The Rainbow Coalition. Remember the Rainbow? New Age movement. And they said, later on, Chapter 6, Elections 88, Communist Party Chairman instructs his people, we will from this day forward work within the Democrat Party. The struggle will be through the medium of the Democrat Party, and to regard both to the president and the congressional election. So you might want to reevaluate your membership in the Democrat Party. Information. There's one of these back there on the table of the records. It lists a lot of outstanding newsletters. The top one I recommend very highly. it looks like this, the Daily News Digest. Very good. Not too expensive. In fact, there's an 800 number there. If you have a plastic card, you can call them. And another one, Don McIlvaney. These are all Christians. Don McIlvaney. The McIlvaney Intelligence Report, worked 15 years for the CIA and then found out about the conspiracy and left. This particular one happened to be pointing out that there had been six glasnosts before the current one, and each one of them ended in a bloodbath. And each time we ran quickly to help them bail them out. And then the one that Irma showed you, the one of the recent trilateral set up like this. There's the trilateral insignia. It's three sixes all in a circle. And it shows that. And it has the list of all the North American trilateral members in it and some more information. And this is the one of 14 May 90, which listed the 200 members that attended the Trilateral Commission in Washington, D.C. by name and their position. It will tell you who the traitors are, and you can also get other information. But don't be fearful. God has everything under control. I had a little trouble with this, a little my foot, when I found out who McNamara was and what he was up to. I purposed in my heart just to go around to his office, 500E, and just blow him away. The Marines have been told to take direct action. Marine Corps' slogan is, when you don't know what to do, attack straight ahead. At least you know you're going in the right direction. You never dig in. When you make contact with the enemy, you never turn loose. But I realized after two sleepless nights that wouldn't work. And just kill me and the other. And I had a little trouble getting over bitterness. But then I got a list of who they really were, and we were able to mix up some of his plans because he thought we were sincere, and so we'd recommend something that we didn't want him to do, knowing that he'd do it. Once you know the objective of the enemy, you can box him. Any questions? Praise the Lord. Who?
Yeah,
Sam Nunn, Senator Nunn. Not a member of the conspiracy, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised he might be asked some of the time. He's sort of straddling the fence. The brother here right behind you had a question.
When President
Oh, yeah, because that's what the vice president's there for. Is so the president drops dead.
The vice president
Nixon resigned, and he was the president, and Agnew was not a member of the operation, and so they had to get rid of Agnew before they got rid of Nixon, because they didn't want Agnew. He's going around all over the world and telling everybody in the United States that the news media is lying to you. So they had to get rid of him. You know how they got rid of him? Simply because he accepted some money for some corporations in his election fund. Oh, didn't anybody in Washington hadn't done that. But it didn't make any difference. The news media got rid of him. But he did all right. The Arabs inherited him and took him on. And boy, he's a multi-millionaire now. And so then, with that out, well, then they convened and the people that nominated Ford. I knew that it was either going to be Ford or Nelson Rockefeller, because you see, Ford's a Bilderberger. And so it turned out that Ford got the nod and later became president. He's the only man that's ever served in the office of the president that was not elected either vice president or president. But that's the way it went. Now, if both of them are disabled, well, then the Speaker of the House becomes president. No longer is it the Secretary of War. An interesting observation, isn't it interesting that as long as we had a Secretary of War, we never lost a war, but ever since we've had a Secretary of Defense, we've never won one. You cannot win anything being on the defense. You can't win football games with the other people carrying the ball all the time. Anybody else? Yes, sister. Yeah. This is Senator Cranston from California. He's CFR and trilateral. Same category with Ted Kennedy and Metzenbaum. He's a traitor of the first water. Also was member of the Communist Party right up until the beginning of... I'm confusing him with Metzenbaum. But Cranston. Well, Cranston has memory lapses. It's very interesting. I've been in hearings over in Congress when he showed up in the wrong room. Come in and actually sit down and somebody go and whisper and tell him he's in the wrong room. He might have been looking for the bathroom. But, you know. Yes, sir. What was what? Well, I explained on the first talk we gave here that the Bilderbergers was created in 1954 when a Polish philosopher, professor, found that if you could get a few leaders that people would trust and they would follow their lead, and it was all the simpler if you controlled all the news medias and you didn't give any choice except the ones that those leaders had. And they had 80 people come over, Prince Bernhard of the Royal Dutch Netherlands. I mentioned he's president of Shell Oil Company and North American Phillips, largest electronics company in the world, and so forth. And Kissinger and David Rockefeller went. 20 of the 80 were Americans, and they created the Bilderberger. It gets its name from the fact that they met over in Austria in the Bilderberger Hotel. That's where it gets its name, Bilderberger. The lady here, and don't let me forget your sister. I'm sorry. I've been out of touch. The lady says that she believes that Admiral Poindexter got a 6-month sentence. Isn't it interesting? Look at the difference between the way they treated him and the way they treated one of their own conspirators, Bud McFarlane. He was found guilty. He pled guilty of the same crime of lying to Congress. And he got 2 years suspended sentence. If he doesn't lie to Congress for 2 more years, he's home free. Kennedy got a 2-year suspended sentence, too, on his leaving the scene of an accident, which means if he doesn't drown another secretary for 2 years, he's okay, too. See the difference in the way they treat people? Oliver North's opening speech, which they would not allow him to give until the fourth day of the hearings, is classic. I think everybody ought to have to read it. Boy, he lays it right on the line for them. His opening statement was, "I resent, and I resent very strongly, being caught in a struggle between the legislative branch and the executive branch as to who's going to run the foreign policy of this country, knowing very well the Constitution signs that to the executive branch." And he said, "We couldn't say, you can't run an army," he says, "the supplying them 1 month and cutting it off for 3 months. You can't do that. And the Congress and their vacillating and indecisive activities, we had to just look somewhere else." And he said, "I had to make a choice." And he said, "It's not a hard choice. By the way, Ollie North is a born-again tongue speaker, has been for years. And that's the reason they hate him, too. That's another reason they hate him, like they did James Watt. They'll hate you for no cause just because you're of a different spirit." But he said, "It lying doesn't come easy to me." But he said, and he almost cried, he said, "It was either lives or lies, and I chose to lie." And they didn't ask him whether he'd do it again, because he probably would. And, you know, the guy in away from Hawaii, did you know they spent somewhere in the neighborhood of $50 million trying to figure out where this $2 million went for the profit on some old obsolete tow missiles? They're worthless. We never warned in the Marine Corps, because they leave a trail of smoke and fire one, you better run like heck. Get away from there, because they know right where it came from. If you didn't, they'd reel in the wire and find you on the other end, because it follows the wire out to the target. So, yeah, I totally deserve them. And, but they sent somewhere in looking for that money. It wasn't the taxpayers' money anyway. The taxpayers had already been paid for the weapons, because the Secretary of Defense declared them obsolete and available for sale. They do it all the time. And they paid the money for it. That Arab over there that had all the money, he paid for it till the deal was over. And then they found out the Israelis had some older tows that were even worse. So the Israelis said, "Well, we'll pay the price for them. And then we'll sell it. We'll give our old ones to the Ayatollah, and we'll keep the new ones. And the Ayatollah will pay us and make a $2 million profit. And then we'll turn it back over to you." And Ollie North and the people gave it to the Congress. That's the way it is. It's just very simple. There's no appropriated funds involved in it at all. That's what Ollie North kept telling them. "I don't know that we violated any law." They didn't violate any law. The Attorney General's office told them that it didn't violate any law. But anyway, in a way, the very next year, the senator from Hawaii put a special rider on the appropriation bill, which gave $8 million to a Jewish school in Paris, France. Yes, sister.
Dr. Martin Luther King went to the same communist school as Bob Kennedy, and and yet there are so many Christians out there that believe that Dr. Martin is the king of the Christians.
Who?
Dr. Martin is the king.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess I can... That communist meeting. There is a communist meeting. He's no more Christian than Jimmy Carter. You know, you can be a Baptist without being a Christian. They asked Jimmy Carter, and this didn't get much news play, but the idiot in Time magazine didn't know what he was telling him, and he printed it. And he said, "Are you a born again? Are you born again?" Jimmy Carter said, "Yes, I'm thrice born." That's a Masonic term. Witchcraft. I don't know too much about Dan Quayle, but I just met on Dan Quayle. Having been director of the Marine Corps Reserve and been associated with the National Guard and the other, I think Dan Quayle made a serious mistake when he began to apologize for being a member of the National Guard. He should have said, "You bet I joined the National Guard and I was available for mobilization. Why don't you ask about Dukakis, who got 5 college deferments till the war was over in Korea, and then he volunteered for active duty?" It was an insult to every reservist and National Guard man in the United States for him to begin to apologize about being in the National Guard. His wife is a born-again tongue speaker, bless God. She's a dear lady. It's a shame she isn't the president. Is who? He's not a brother of mine. I don't know whether the Lord says him or not. He's come to a lot of full gospel meetings, but a few heathen come to those things, too. I don't know. God could only answer that question, but I don't see how he could do the things and the things he votes for and still be really be a Christian. Yes, the sister back here. Is Oliver North drawing his pension? Yes, he is at the present time, but... This is interesting. The two traitors, I've forgotten their names. Remember the Navy types that sold secrets to the Soviet Union and are now in jail? Both of them are receiving their pensions. And yet, Congressman Frank, if you don't know who Congressman Frank is, let me tell you. He had a homosexual prostitute ran out of his basement. He's trying to introduce a bill to revoke Colonel North's retirement pay. But he has no problem with the traitors that are serving and they're getting their retired pay because they're the same spirit. The spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of Christ, I can't emphasize enough, this is a spiritual war. You ought to read Leilani Watt's book back there, Caught in the Crisis. I was present and had the honor of laying hands on her when she was baptized in the Holy Spirit in Washington. Jim Watt and I worked together on quite a few things. The only problem with James Watt is, if he's convinced of something, the character will not compromise. You know, he just won't back off. In fact, I've told him, I said, "You got to quit going across the street to find a fight." But that's just Jim. He just says it that way. Any other? The lady back here, and don't let me forget you now. Now you have this information that I gave you, what would I advise you Christians to do? 1 Chronicles 7:14 is about the best way I can put it. But I can't give you a pat answer of what you must do. Romans 8, those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. And it's high time we learn to be led of the Spirit. Because what the Lord may be leading me to do, he won't lead you to do. And so the job won't get done unless we're all doing what the Lord's Holy Spirit would have us to do. Now that's not a cop-out, because I will not assume your responsibility for hearing from the Lord for you. Glenn knows Merle Allender, major in the Marine Corps at the time I retired. Dear brother, looks like an old prophet. He has one eyebrow that runs clear across his face and V eyes and beats the guitar real bad. And he called me up when he was a major and I was bird colonel. And he said, "Colonel Wilson, I feel I'm being called to leave the Marine Corps and go be a missionary and a preacher. Would you pray and see what the Lord would tell you for me?" I said, "Merle, no way." I said, "I will pray with you that the Lord will show you what he wants you to do. But I said, if you want to go in the mission field, do you know any heathen in the Marine Corps?" Well, I said, well, get up and get with it, man. You don't have to go overseas to find heathen. I saw General Ralph Haynes shortly after that. He said, did Merle call you? I said, yeah. No, I didn't say yeah. I said, yes, sir. And he said, well, what'd you say? I told him. He said, you know, he called me the same thing. He said, what'd you tell him? I told him what I told him. He said, praise God, that's what I told him, too. You're not going to put your monkey on my back. Boy, I've heard people go around, boy, somebody prophesied over me, and they said, and it just didn't work out. That's not the way it goes. I'm not condemning getting in a circle and praying for guidance. But those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. And I assure you, dear ones, if you ever get serious and really want to be led by the Holy Spirit of the Lord, it'll lead you. My wife and I have proved that time and time again. I'll have to confess with you, I doubt if we do it all the time. But when we get serious, however, I sometimes look back and the Lord was leading and I didn't even know it. So, there were some people right in here somewhere. Yeah, Joe McCarthy. Yeah. I'll tell you about him. Well, the news media lied about him like they did Pat Robertson and Senator Goldwater. I didn't have time to tell you, but we mentioned the other night that my wife and I, in my testimony, we often went to these hired crowd things over at the White House. I always found it interesting. If you don't know what it is, when they have a controversial leader coming to Washington and he's in the White House and they know there might be problems, and they quit asking the Hollywood idiots because they always got some guy in there, you know, some woman that make a problem. So they would send out a quota to the Marine Corps, Army, Navy, and Air Force, the Senate Secretary of Defense, and he'd appropriate out to send a given number of generals or colonels in a proper civilian attire. So you go to the White House and get a nice, easy meal and meet a lot of real interesting people, and they take pictures, and you got a pretty good-looking group standing around, no problem. So I got to be a good friend of Senator Goldwater. He loves to fly, and I like to fly, and so he and I'd get off in the corner somewhere and talk about it. And when he wasn't elected president, boy, the news media really... What the news media didn't ever tell you was that he sued a lot of people, and he collected over $300,000 in damages by out-and-out lies in the news media. You didn't tell you either that General Westmoreland settled out of court with CBS for $500,000 for the lies they told on him, too. So they ought to be suing him right out of existence. But after the election, and he wasn't elected because of the way the news media hit it. And at this one, it was a military function, and I had him on the upper dress of the Marine Corps, the red cummerbund and the gold stripe and the whole bit and the full-size medals and all. And I went over and I said, Senator Goldwater, I just can't tell you how sorry I am you weren't elected to president. Just about that way, too. And he said, oh, Colonel, don't worry about it. He said, after I read the newspaper and listened to radio and watched the television, I almost voted for old Lyndon, too. They made him out to be such a jerk, nobody would vote for him. Once they asked him, the Communist Party, like now, was supporting Lyndon Johnson. And the Birch Society was supporting Goldwater. So the liberal news media said, when are you going to renounce the support of the John Birch Society, that extreme right-wing John Birch Society? They always got to get that in there. He said, I will renounce the Birch Society if Lyndon Johnson will renounce the Communist Party USA. What did they say in the paper? Goldwater refuses to renounce the Birch Society. That reminds me of this is a true story. It happened over in Russia about 10 years ago. They decided to have a race between an American car and a Soviet car and see which one would run the fastest. So just the two of them in the race now, you got to keep that in mind. Just two cars in the race and the American car won. This is the way they printed it. The Soviet car came in second and the American car was next to last. Well... that's true, but it is slightly slanted. I heard Dan Rather give this one. Dan Rather, just about 4 years ago, when about not quite 3,000 people had been killed in South Africa as a result of the necklacing and the blacks killing blacks and tribal warfare and all of that, and about 200 had been killed trying to put down the riots, trying to keep law and order. And this is the way he phrased it. Thousands have been killed in South Africa. Yeah, about 2,000. Just barely plural. Hundreds have died in Afghanistan. Yeah, nearly 2 million killed, and some of them with poison gas. See the terminology? They were killed in South Africa, thousands. Hundreds died in Afghanistan. Terminology is very important. Very important. Okay. Yes, go ahead. I'll get to you in a minute. I'll be back that way.
How does what is happening now fit in with the timing of the end
time? Oh, how does what happening now fit in with the end times? I gave the scriptures on that in the talk just before this. That all, there are a lot of scriptures that support there will be a one world government. And very interested in the book of Revelation. I could give you this scripture. I had it in the other notes, but it's there. That the 10 horns you saw were 10 kings who, or 10 rulers who had no power except for a very short power at time, and had no power except the beast gave to them. And it says in there for a time to come. Isn't it interesting that this group of conspirators has divided the world into 10 regions? And they didn't know that it was right out of Scripture they're doing it. And it's very clear that the Lord returns to take over a one-world government. The government shall be on His shoulders. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and His host. So these people don't recognize they're doing all the groundwork to get a kingdom set up for the Lord to come back and take it over. Okay. And they will fall. I'm sorry, you're... Why was there an attempt to kill Reagan? Well, I think that was just the spirit of Antichrist in a mentally deranged individual. That's my opinion. Nothing to support it. We'll never know. Like the people that knew that there was something real strange about the assassination of Kennedy. The FBI was never allowed to investigate that assassination. And the deputy director of FBI, Bill Webster, knew him real well. We worked with him on subversive activities in the 60s. And he wasn't sitting still for it. And he was killed in a very unfortunate hunting accident. And Garrison, Attorney General of Louisiana, also blew the cover on the whole thing. And he had an unfortunate boat accident and died, and a whole bunch more. If we had time, we could go through a whole charade on that. Okay. We got to cut her off. We're out of tape.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.